with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres and Rangers tonight. You can get your tickets now for the Badges and Bravery 50-50 raffle presented by Northtown Automotive. You can win a guaranteed jackpot of $10,000, but also support a great cause. Proceeds benefit the Buffalo Police and Firefighter Arno Memorial Foundation. The drawing's February 1st, so get your tickets now at sabres.com/50-50. It's a brand new year. It's the same insider as always from TSN. He's Darren Dreger. And we'll start with the same question as always. What's the latest on Alex Tuch?
That's where we start 2026. And you're right, almost on a weekly basis. Well, in the previous regime, I think we got to a point where there wasn't much of an update, so we didn't talk a lot about it. And I would say that the update on Alex Tuch and the relationship with Buffalo and his future is basically status quo. What's different, of course, is you've got Jarmo Kekäläinen and essentially a new management regime just getting the lay of the land with Tuch and his agents, the Bartletts, you know, finding out specifically what he's looking for, what his intentions are. At this point, early in the new year, you know, is there willingness to fully engage, or is it more likely that he dives in unrestricted free agency and gives that old standby, oh, I'm not saying I won't sign back in Buffalo, but I first want to see what other opportunities look like before I do that. And I don't believe that Jarmo and the Buffalo Sabres have that indication yet. I do believe that there is a willingness to continue to talk. You know, different voice now, different people listening, and perhaps a different approach for Alex Tuch. But as was described point blank to me about 15 minutes ago, nothing imminent. So I don't know if that's good news or bad news for Sabres fans.
So we have probably three more shows with you before the Olympic break. And then it's going to be nothing for 3 weeks with this, you know, probably NHL news and contract news. I mean, it could happen during the break or whatnot. And then we're pushing trade deadline and the Sabres are trying to make a push. Is this like, if it doesn't happen by the Olympic break, are we saying, like, let's start to look at trade partners? Is it, like, that dire? Or is it own rental and he could walk? Like, there's so many things that could happen.
But all of the above, and you're right. And look, the description of the own rental is appropriate. And I can't remember where it goes back to, I think, Dave Nonis as general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe it was Tyler Bozak comes to mind. And back in that time, it was borderline unthinkable. You know, unless you're talking about a top level pending unrestricted free agent, you just weren't willing to play the game where a player could walk out and you get absolutely nothing in return. So now more and more teams, especially playoff teams with the salary cap, and if you're a salary cap team, they do see the benefit of that own rental because it does buy you a little time. You know, if you do as well as you predict or even better than you expect, well, maybe that buys a little bit of favor, you know, to keep that player out of free agency. But it is something that is more considered now than perhaps ever before. So I can't just dismiss that possibility. But look, I mean, when you look at the track record of Jarmo Kekäläinen as general manager in Columbus, he wasn't afraid to make bold trades. And at times you could question the timing of making such bold trades, but he did it with an interest in making his team better for what they were about to go into. And for the Buffalo Sabres, that's obviously a strong playoff push if they're able to do that. And this year, as we know, it's different because you do have the obvious restrictions that, you know, these managers are dealing with. February 4th, the Olympic freeze comes into effect. So what are we going to see? Are we going to see more activity between now and February 4th? Are we going to see that game of poker where, you know, the few sellers that exist are sitting there going, okay, well, we really don't like what the trade talk is producing right now. So why wouldn't we wait until post-Olympics? Then you've got the March 6th trade deadline, and then you've got a real finite window of where teams can get something done. And it could be a feeding frenzy. It could be at that point. So maybe that makes more sense if you're Jarmo, depending on where you're positioned, the Buffalo Sabres and the standings, you've exhausted the conversation, if that's the case with the Bartletts, And you go, all right, well, we're holding on to Alex Tuch until we get into that window before March 6th. That might make the most sense if they're willing to consider trade.
Well, it's Tuch versus Panarin tonight. So I guess the logical question would be, will they be teammates this year? And in which city would that be more likely?
Yeah, I mean, there's loose speculating on that. And, you know, I think that that has to do more with, you know, the New York Rangers and where they're at right now. But the reality of the situation in New York is that's a team that all of a sudden looks decimated by injury, you know, with Shesterkin, Fox. I mean, go down the list of the players here. We know that Chris Drury especially is one who he knows what he's chasing. I mean, he's trying to be a Stanley Cup contending team, and the New York Rangers don't look like that. They haven't looked like that for the majority of the first half of the regular season, and now again, they're toppled by the injury factor. Is there an appetite for making something big happen? Yeah, I think that there would be, but ask every general manager. Talk to Tom Fitzgerald in New Jersey. You don't think he has a strong appetite to do something big up front and add a piece like the two men that we're talking about, Tuch or Panarin? Of course he would. You know, there's some salary implications that would come into play. But I think some want to use wild speculation purely to connect the dots. And the problem with doing that is, well, maybe it's an advantage. How can we say right now that there's zero chance that Artemi Panarin isn't getting traded? We can't say that. Mm-hmm. Same thing of Alex Tuch. We just had the conversation of, but to connect those two teams and the likelihood of that happening feels like a stretch to me, because I look around the National Hockey League and I see the teams that would love to grab hold of Alex Tuch as an example. So, you know, if it turns out the New York Rangers are the best option, present the best package, but doesn't Alex Tuch have some form of say in this? I would think that he would want to go to a team that he would perceive to be a top contending team, likewise for Panarin. And is that the Rangers? Is that the Sabres? Not so sure when I look around the league.
Allow me to dream a little bit, Dregs. Like, yep. What if Tuch was a $10 million player and you signed him, and Jarmo Kekalainen, because of his history with Artemi Panarin in Columbus. And by the way, like with Panarin and Bobrovsky, he basically had them as own rental, right? Trying to make a push for them. So he's aggressive in that way too.
Yep.
But okay, so Panarin is going to want how much, right? And that's the thing. Like, could you see the Sabres having both Alex Tuch and Artemi Panarin, not just this year, but next year? And would that be like a grand slam home run type of situation to say, hey, we're putting Buffalo back on this map?
Well, I mean, it is dreaming, so I'm glad you prefaced it by saying all of that. You know, the belief is, whether it's changed position or not, that Alex Tuch wants just north of what Kempe got with the Los Angeles Kings. So you're talking north of $10.5 million. That's a lot. What's Artemi Panarin going to make, right?
11 or 12, probably.
Yeah, probably the same, or maybe 12 and a half or something like that.
Yeah, and
I mean, age works against him here, so I'm not sure he's getting much more, wouldn't get north of 12, in my opinion. But
right, and maybe to that point, Brian, it becomes the sum and how you make it work because of how old he is, right? Yeah. And teams are less worried now, it feels, especially if they have a very specific need. And, you know, with all due respect to what Buffalo has accomplished over the past dozen games, I mean, we can all envision their need for help in their top six up front. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see that. That's legit and that is real. So if because of the history with Panarin and Jarmo Kekalainen is legit enough where you want to go down that road, if it's as a free agent, even as an extension, you can get creative and make that work, right? Mm-hmm. The owner may not love the term that you're going to have to throw out there, but maybe you do put it out there, put it on the table, because it brings so the sum of the dollars would make sense to Artemi Panarin, but the AAV doesn't matter as much to him because it's guaranteed money. So in that mm-hmm. sort of world, I could see it fit.
So last night, another bizarre moment for the St. Louis Blues and their goaltending. I mean, this just never stops. And last night it was on full display, i.e. the cameras caught everything. And Binnington had allowed seven. Seemed like Montgomery and Steve Ott wanted him out. Hofer wasn't on the bench because of the configuration of things in Chicago, and then he was caught on camera leaning, peering around the corner.
Hiding.
Joel Hofer. So what does this mean in the big picture for a Blues team that, again, shockingly, is not very far from a wild card spot in the West, despite all their ups and downs this year? But like, Binnington's always in the news. Hofer's been pretty good. What does it all mean to you?
Well, you know, the St. Louis Blues just aren't good enough. I mean, I'm playing the role here of Captain Obvious, and everybody knows it, including Jim Montgomery and including General Manager Doug Armstrong. Can they afford to go through yet another tweak or a rebuild? And I think that that's really what Armstrong is wrestling with now. And, you know, what pieces are we talking about? Robert Thomas's name has been out there for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, go down the list. There'll be other names that surface as we, you know, again, approach to certain times between now and early February and then the March 6th trade deadline. But specific to what happened last night, interesting, but there's a backstory to it now. And I'm a bit surprised that it wasn't disclosed post-game. You know, I don't know. I saw the post-game interview. Unless I missed a chunk, I don't think anybody asked Jim Montgomery about it.
That's our belief too.
Which is curious because we all saw it. And I mean, Montgomery looked frustrated. You know, he's waving at Binnington to come out of the crease. And Binnington is just standing there because he can clearly see that Joel Hofer isn't on the bench. And he can't see Hofer coming out onto the ice. So he's like, I'm not leaving until I see this guy. Mm-hmm. And apparently what happened was, and again, because of the configuration of where the dressing room is in relation to the visitor's bench, it sounds like Hofer had a lot of his gear off.
He was 7 minutes left, 6 minutes left in the game. He's already taken a shower.
Well, I don't know if it was that extreme, but my understanding is that when the call came, he was like frantic. I mean, this is nightmare type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're the goalie, the player, and you're having the nightmare. You're trying to get your skates on, and you put your left skate on your right foot, and you can't figure it out, that kind of stuff. Apparently, that's what it was. So by the time Hofer got his stuff together, his gear on, now he's racing to get into position. He gets to the hallway, and then we can see him peek around the post. And by then it was too late because the officials are like, forget it. We're not waiting forever. We got to drop the puck here. And they dropped the puck. So there was somewhat of an explanation for it, but it doesn't excuse another example of just bizarre stuff happening around that St. Louis team.
Mm-hmm. The Sabres are going to play the Montreal Canadiens three times this month. And they're going to be huge games. We talked about it earlier. The Canadiens have three goalies. Who are going to be their two goalies, you know, from now until the end? Because Fowler and Montembeau and Dobesh are doing this three-goalie rotation.
Yeah,
well, Dobesh not so much now, but yes.
Yeah, and that never really works, does it? I mean, it's awkward. It doesn't really work. I mean, obviously the Montreal Canadiens would prefer Dobesh and Montembeau. That would be their preference to allow Fowler to, you know, continue to work in his game, hone his skills at the American League level. But when they brought him up, they really didn't have a choice. And it was a full reset for Montembeau. And then on top of that, Dobesh goes sideways and Fowler is left to shoulder more of the load. So I think it's still in the category of to be determined. If you ask Kent Hughes, I think that's exactly what he would tell you. And if you asked him to rewind the tape and take us back to the start of the year, even earlier into training camp, he would have boasted that the Montreal Canadiens' depth in the goaltending position was as good as any in the National Hockey League and that the goalie department was not going to be an area of concern until it quickly became an area of concern. So they want two guys to figure it out. That's what they want. And when they figure it out, then Ken Hughes and management will decide whether or not they can afford to part with one of these guys.
Yeah, it's not hurting them right now, though. They've got points in 12 of the last 14, so they are remarkable in that regard. Rapid fire here, Dregs, if you can, before we wrap. Is Steven Stamkos likely to be dealt this year or not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not saying no definitively, I can't. I don't have that information. It feels unlikely.
And what about Ottawa and their goaltending with Ullmark on leave and the challenges that they're facing?
Well, weirdly, Ullmark was at the game the other night, right? Mm-hmm. So how long is his personal leave going to drift? We don't know. I know that Steve Staios doesn't want to have to make a goalie change, but he's on the fence. That's where he's at.
Marty? John Cooper going to win the Jack Adams this year, finally. He's never won it. And Tampa, with all the injuries, are first in the Atlantic.
Yeah, and how many straight wins? Eight, right? Yeah. And counting. I mean, that's – with all due respect to those who won the Jack Adams and the head-to-heads with John Cooper, I find that curious that he hasn't won it. I don't know what more this man can do as head coach in the National Hockey League, but – then I say that, and I'm wondering out loud, what else can Paul Maurice do as head coach of the Florida Panthers to work his way into that inner circle of Hockey Canada? Because this guy is always on the outside looking in. So those are two coaching questions that I don't have an answer for.
Okay, 10 seconds or less. Any change imminent in Winnipeg? They've lost 10 straight.
Not imminent, no. And by change, you're talking GM
and
or
anything.
Coach?
Anything could be anything.
Anything would be a trade, but we know how they go through things very methodically there. Yeah. And last time I checked, Cheveldayoff had an extension, so I don't think he's going anywhere.
Crazy. They've lost 13 of 14 and continue to sit dead last in the NHL. Dregs, thank you so much. Great start to 2026.
Great.
All right. You guys have a great week.
We will, and we're inching ever closer to Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity event presented by New Era Cap Foundation. It is a week from tomorrow. Incredible. We've been talking about it so long. We've been so excited for it. Ryan is as well, because he's got so many of his 05-06 teammates that are going to be there. Go to sabres.com/catwalk to get your tickets today. Back after this.